Today I'm proclaiming the word of God from the epistle reading, Romans chapter 10, verses 5 to 15. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we receive your word, fill us with your Holy Spirit, so that we may call on the name of your Son and receive your gift of salvation. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been going through the book of Romans here at Bethlehem in the last few weeks. And last week, we heard about St. Paul's deep love for his fellow Israelites. And we thought also about the loving attitude that we can take when it comes to family members of ours who do not call on the name of the Lord. What we didn't hear about last week from Romans chapter 9, however, is how St. Paul goes on to talk about God's ongoing commitment to his people and the fact that his promises to the patriarchs stand. Now, one of the practical issues that St. Paul then deals with is the place of the law, God's instruction, the Torah, to his people, to what it means here and now. St. Paul does not simply say that God's dropped the law for something better. It's a little more nuanced than that. Just before today's reading, the verse before our reading that we had from the lectern, St. Paul says these words: "For Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes." Now, calling Christ the end of the law can be a little confusing because in English we say things like, "The movie has ended, it's come to an end." And when a movie has come to an end, you don't stay in the cinema, you leave. But this is a different sort of end. Christ is the fulfillment or the completion of the law. Think about the end of an acorn. The end of an acorn in this sense is not the tip of the acorn, it's an oak. The end of an acorn, the completion, its maturity, is in being an oak tree. Just so, the law has reached its goal in Christ. He is the one who kept it to completion. And so therefore, right now, our righteousness, our standing with God happens as we placed our trust not in our ability to keep the law, but in Christ's fulfillment of the law for us. Now today I'm proclaiming good news from God's word. Christ is not far from us. Rather, as we receive the good news of what he has done for us, as we live out our baptismal calling of trusting in Christ and of confessing his name, Christ is with us, and so we are receiving the gift of the salvation of our souls. Okay, let's listen to how today's reading begins. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' That is to bring Christ down. Or, 'Who will descend into the abyss?' That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart." Now, to be sure, that can be very difficult to understand. Imagine telling someone from the United States that we as Australians say, "Let's all ring Joyce, for she is young and free." Australians all, "Let us ring Joyce, for she is young and free." We'd all know it's a joke about the national anthem. They wouldn't get it. They're not tuned in. We need to tune into the Old Testament to know what's going on here, because St. Paul's first hearers would have known exactly what he's talking about. He's going back to Deuteronomy 30. Now, Deuteronomy is a great book of the Bible. It's the last of the first five books, the Pentateuch. And the scene is Moses with his people. He can't enter the promised land. He sees where he's not going to go. And he restates, therefore, the law for them. And he talks about the law not as something that's far off, that they have to get to know, but as something that has already been proclaimed to them. Listen to these words from the end of this great sermon in Deuteronomy. Very famous words for those tuned in at this point. Moses says, "Surely this commandment that I'm commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us, so that we may hear it and observe it?' Neither is it beyond the sea," you know, the deep, the abyss, "that you should say, 'Who will cross to the other side of the sea for us and get it for us, so that we may hear it and observe it?' No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe." Sound familiar? It's what St. Paul is alluding to and quoting from in today's reading from Romans. Now, Moses is saying that the instruction he's giving them in their new life, as they settle down from their life as nomads, is not far away. They don't need to build a stairway to heaven to get this law. And they don't need a submersible to go into the abyss to get it either. The Torah, the instruction from God, has been given by Moses. He's proclaimed it to them. And they themselves can keep it in their hearts and repeat it aloud with their mouths. Now, St. Paul is saying that this same law has found its completion in the end, its end, its goal, in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So that his word is not far from his readers at Rome. It's not far from us. In fact, this is what St. Paul says. "The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim." The word that Moses spoke has reached its goal in Jesus. So that St. Paul's word, so that the gospel, in other words, has the saving power that comes from keeping the law, that comes from Jesus' completion of the law for us. That's why St. Paul goes on to say in Romans, "Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved," not by keeping the law. "For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and confesses with the mouth and so is saved." The scripture says, "No one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Now, there are many things that could be said about these words. Think about how they relate to our gospel reading today. When St. Peter calls, "Lord, save me," who's he talking to? He's talking to Jesus. He is the Lord. And when Jesus gets in the boat, he is worshipped as Lord and God. We could also say that St. Paul here is highlighting the fact that through faith in Christ, God does what we humans can't do by our own strength, and that is break down the natural barriers of hostility that occurs between people of different languages and tribes and nations. So Paul talks about that in Galatians 3. But today I want to draw attention to these words. "For one believes with a heart and so is justified," declared righteous by God, that is, innocent. "And one confesses with the mouth and so is saved." And the words from Joel also, that St. Paul quotes, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Now, what do you think St. Paul actually had in mind when he wrote those words? When he talks about confessing with the lips and believing with the heart, when he says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, what do you think is going on there? What sort of situation does St. Paul envisage where these things actually happen? That last quote, "everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved," comes from Joel, and it comes up elsewhere in the New Testament. Now test your memories at this point. Where else does that come up in the New Testament? It's in a famous passage that we hear year by year here at Bethlehem on Pentecost Sunday. It's in St. Peter's great sermon on the first Pentecost day. For St. Peter, calling on the Lord's name takes a definite shape. It looks like something that we here can relate to. Listen to how the Pentecost Day account goes on after St. Peter quotes from Joel. Now, when the people heard St. Peter's sermon, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent, turn back, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, for all who are far away, for everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him, being justified by Christ, the one who fulfilled the law for us, believing in one's heart, confessing with one's lips, happens on the day of Pentecost, as people receive the gift of holy baptism. There, they confessed with their lips, they believed in their hearts, they are saved, calling on the name of the Lord Jesus." Now, perhaps you're wondering, well, that was good for St. Peter, but would St. Paul also have thought this way when it comes to his own life or to ours? Well, listen to how St. Paul recounts his conversion, and you get this in Acts chapter 22. Remember, by the way, that St. Paul encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, so he had what you could call a mystical encounter with the risen Christ. But Christ sends Paul to Damascus to a certain person. In fact, it says, "A certain Ananias, who was a devout man according to the law and well spoken of by all the Jews living there, came to me," this is St. Paul speaking, "and standing beside me, he said, 'Brother Saul, regain your sight.' In that very hour, I regained my sight and I saw him. Then he said, 'The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will, to see the righteous one and to hear his own voice. For you will be his witness to all the world of what we have seen and heard. Now, why do you delay? Get up, be baptized, and have your sins washed away, calling on his name.'" Now, you might think for St. Paul the big deal was meeting the risen Christ. But remember, the risen Christ sends St. Paul to Ananias. And Ananias says to him, "Don't wait. Get up, be baptized, having your sins washed away, calling on the name of the Lord." Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And the Lord is the Lord Jesus, the one who has completed the law, fulfilled it for us. And as we are baptized, we share in his death and will just as surely share in his life as we, in a path of discipleship, St. Paul would add, share in his sufferings. Now, dear brothers and sisters here at Bethlehem, you have been baptized into Christ. There the confession was made. There was belief. You received this gift with faith in your heart because, as our Lord Jesus says, the little ones believe in him. And as you've grown, you've made use of your baptism, as you've trusted this message and lived in the freedom that it brings. Making use of our baptism is something very everyday. In our small catechism, Luther recommends that we make use of our baptism as we begin the day by saying, "In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," making the sign of the cross, he recommends, something that I did this morning when I woke up. I remembered that when we are baptized into Christ, we are baptized in the one who completed the law for us, so that we don't need to come to God showing the good things we have done to live as his true children, but so we live as his true children because of his gracious act to us in Christ. We make use of this as we believe in our hearts and confess with our lips our baptismal status in Christ. Likewise, when we go to bed, we can do the same thing, going into the preparation for death, that is sleep, saying, "In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, I trust that in you is the forgiveness of the sins I've done this day. And I go to sleep in your peace because I don't trust in my own righteousness, but the righteousness that you fulfilled in your suffering, death, and resurrection. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So as God's baptized people, let's encourage each other to keep on doing this. And through this, to have the fruit of the Spirit grow in our lives. And through this, to have God's name glorified as we show sincere and heartfelt love for each other. In Jesus' name, amen. By the peace of God which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.